with Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs, who is my helpmate on my favorite segment of the week, the King Charles Report. He's much in the news these days, not because he said anything, but because his second son, Prince Harry, is much in the news, talking odd things about his own past, making confessions, accusations. It's all very strange. There is a report in the gossip pages in London that the King, Charles, and the heir, William, are looking to some kind of peace meeting between now and the coronation set for May of this year. Gregory reminds me that it is in the gossip pages, not on the front page of the Telegraph or the Times, so therefore I treat it as speculation. However, the King is conducting his business, so is Prince William, so are all the members of the royal family. You just indicated that Princess Anne was off to Greece for this ceremony. The detail here, Gregory, it's important to emphasize, because I didn't grow up with a king or a royal family, so it's all new to me to learn, is that the royal family cannot take to the airwaves or talk to an interviewer about the accusations that Prince Harry is making, if I understand correctly. They remain silent, what, out of tradition, out of rule, out of wisdom? Why are they remaining silent? Harry has said very odd things about his own family.
Well, yes, the royal family remains silent out of tradition, and it's proven to have been the best policy, rather than getting engaged in responding to any gutter comments that come against it. Better to ignore it and let it go away. Now, occasionally in the modern era, because of the power of social media and the media generally, they have been coming off very badly because they haven't responded to these criticisms. The reality is that that Prince Harry is a changed person. He has definitely suffered some kind of spiritual conversion or something, because he is not behaving rationally. Even today, things that he said in his book and that he has said on the record in the past, he's now denying he said them. He said he never called the royal family racist. Well, you just go back and look at the clips and said he called them racist. He made a number of other allegations that were subsequently picked up by the media, and he said, well, I didn't say that. The media is lying. Well, the reality is that it's all there in black and white or on, video replays. So Harry's never been, a serious player within the royal family. So, and he's not, and he never will be again. Yes, the king and his older brother love him and would like to see peace with him. There's no question about that. But I think the government of Prime Minister Rishi Sunak will actually ban Harry from coming to the coronation in May this year, simply because it's going to be too disruptive and would put a strain on security resources and the like, because Harry is unpredictable. So basically, he's a side issue, and stopping, if you like, real attention on what the king and the government are doing of a very, very substantive nature. I mean, for example, on Monday, while Princess Anne was at the funeral for King Constantine, we saw King Charles meeting at Balmoral Castle with the president of Cyprus, Nikos Anastasiadis, and his wife, Andrei. And they had really significant talks on the British sovereign base areas on Cyprus. Now, this is critical both to the security of NATO, the United Kingdom, and Cyprus. So this was a very substantive set of meetings there. We saw, even before Princess Anne went to Athens for the funeral, she was in Cyprus, again having meetings with President Anastasiadis and with other British officials at the sovereign base areas. Again, moving the two countries into closer harmony on where they will go strategically together. And this is been an enormously healing process, because the Cypriots have tended to feel a little alienated from Britain, even though Cyprus is in the British Commonwealth. But Cyprus basically was saying, well, we're being ignored by London, and London's got these sovereign base areas on our country and we don't like it. Now they're coming into some degree of harmony, and a lot of this has to do with the very delicate human diplomacy undertaken by the king and the royal family. Yes, the substance is only going to be discussed on a government-to-government level, but when you've got a feeling of national friendship between the United Kingdom and Cyprus, for example, that becomes important. And we're seeing that in other areas of the world as well. So the crown, even before the coronation, is working literally 7 days a week on building these global outreach on behalf of global Britain.
I mentioned that in the news is a royal historian named Marlena Koenig, and her comment is helpful, Gregory, given that you and I and the king are about the same age. We're the same generation. Ms. Koenig says, he, the king, knows that his time is shorter, but he's going to do the best he can, being the oldest man to ever inherit the crown. Gregory, I don't think his time is short. I think he's got 20 or 30 years left. What do you think?
We can only hope so. I think William needs at least a decade and possibly two to gain the kind of gravitas which Charles has gained. It is a process of learning, of meeting people, of making contacts. We even saw that with Princess Anne's visit to the funeral, where she was, intimately connected with all of the other royals in Europe. So knowing that is very, very helpful. Having that relationship, having that the wisdom as to when to be silent and when to be, and how to, if you like, maneuver without public comment. This is a real art, and Charles has learned it, and I think William is also learning it as well. And these trials that they're having with the media and with Harry and his wife in California. This is all part of the learning, and I think this is good for them all. And I would say, as I'm sure you would, to King Charles, who is my distant cousin, God save the king, and long live the king.
Yes, God save the king. Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. I'm John Mitchell.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.